Open your Bibles, if you will, to Joel. Book of Joel. We looked at that a little bit, I believe it was last Sunday night. And I shared with you some thoughts and some things that I had seen from the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, I'm going to be reading out of Joel chapter 3, but in Joel chapter 2, it speaks of two armies, and I brought that out last Sunday night, I believe. Was it Sunday night? Sunday night, that those two armies there, the one who which I had always thought was the army of the Lord, is not. That's an army of darkness, army of gloom. The army of God is not spoken of until verse 11 of chapter 2 of Joel. And Joel says, sound a trumpet in Zion. Sound a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mount. Now that won't mean anything to you except you understand who Zion is. Except you understand who his holy mount is. Unless you understand that you have come to Zion, you'll never understand what Joel's saying there. Not you will one day come, but you are come, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. You are come to Zion. And the prophet Joel says, blow an alarm, sound an alarm, somebody warn my people. There's an army coming that's never been like this army before. There's an army that's coming. And this army, it just comes before it, and things are like a Garden of Eden, but when it's through, there's nothing left but destruction. There's an army coming, and this army can climb walls, you can't keep it out. This army can climb on your houses and come in your windows. You cannot keep this army out. I showed you last week that I really feel that that army is the humanistic army that we're facing today. I believe that this army comes right down your television antenna or right in on the cable system and comes right into your living room. It walks home with your children in the books that they carry and they read in school. It comes in on your newspaper. It comes in with the magazines. It comes in on your radio. You can't keep this army out. But there's more. I'm seeing something more, particularly this last week, last 2 weeks, that what's going on in the church world, I see something else developing. I see something else in the realm of spirit going on. And in the book of Joel chapter 3, verse 14, Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I feel with all of my heart and deep within my spirit that we are all right now in the valley of decision. God is bringing his people to the valley of decision. We are in the realm of spirit sitting in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of decision, and it can be an Armageddon to you. And so this morning I want to be a watchman. I want to sound the trumpet. And I'm not talking about this piece of brass down here that I blow. I want to blow something at you, a clear word at you, that you can hear what the Spirit's saying. I want the Spirit to blow the trumpet. I want to be a watchman for you today. Let's look at Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. A little bit more about the watchman. How do you know the enemy's coming? How does Joel say, you know the enemy's coming? Somebody has to sound a trumpet. There's a trumpet being sounded today. And again, we're going to read about this in Ezekiel 33, verse 1. I'm going to read about the first 7 verses. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when the devil brings the sword upon the land, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. Who sent that flood? The Lord God Almighty. And he says, when I bring the sword, when I turn the devil loose on the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, Now, notice two thoughts that I want to get to you here. First of all, the sword's coming, and I believe it's here. What would you call AIDS? Huh? I'm telling you, that's going to do some dividing. That's in the natural. What do you call humanism? It's a sword. And it's going to do some dividing. It's going to do some cutting. You're going to have to start choosing sides. You're going to have to be much more careful as to where you go, what you do, who you're around, what you listen to. But at the same time he sends the sword, he's also raising up watchmen. Do you see that? At the same time the sword comes, comes a watchman. He won't let his people be attacked by the sword. He won't send the flood except first he's raised up a Noah. The flood can't come except there's a place for the people of God to go to. Noah was a watchman. Noah had an ark. The ark is the church. And if you're not in the church, you're out there with the flood. If you're not in the church, if you're not behind the door with the blood on it, where are you at? You're out there with the devourer. Sides are having to be chosen today as never before. And God's raising up watchmen at the same time he's sending his flood, as he's sending the sword. Verse 3. If when he seeth the sword, this is talking about the watchman, if when the watchman seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, as it was in the days of Noah, the flood took some away. And take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. If I proclaim a word to you that's the sound of a trumpet, that's a warning and to let you know not only in the natural realm some things that are happening, but also in the realm of the spirit that some things are happening. If you don't take heed of them, the blood's not on me. Who is the blood on? It's on you. So as a watchman, I must tell you what I see. If I don't, then I'm accountable for it. Read on. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6. But if the watchman, the ministry, the watchman ministry, see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So if I share some things that I'm sensing and seeing in the realm of spirit today, and they are not acceptable to you, please don't get upset with me. Please understand, I don't want our blood on my hands. Okay, I want to be free of that. I want to share with you what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing in the realm of spirit. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, unto the church of the living God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, Israel is a type of the church in the New Testament? Is this correct? Amen. Every time. And if you want to find out where the church is, find out where Israel was and what happened, and then you'll find out about where the church is going. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them. Look what King James says. Warn them from me. Huh. Warn them for me, warn them from me. Your version probably says, if you don't have a King James, probably says for me. But the thought is this: God wants a people warned. He wants them to know the sword's coming. He wants the people to know what's going on in the earth today. What did we just read? When I release Satan, when I release the destroyer, at the same time I will be raising up watchman ministries. And I think that we can look at Noah and see a perfect type there of the watchman ministry. What I want to share with you today is another type of enemy. I think it's a unique time in the church. And I want to share with you another type of enemy that's not humanistic. I want to share with you what I feel that God's purposes are right now. I want to address this today And I really pray that you will hear what the Spirit's saying, not what I'm saying, but what the Spirit's saying to the church today. Let's look at the book of Acts. Acts 20. I'll be talking a lot about this morning about the kingdom of God. And I shied away from that for a couple of months, saying very much at all about the kingdom, because it had nearly become a bad word. But the Lord has really spanked me and reminded me that it was for the kingdom that I was called. And in chapter 20, verse 24 of Acts, Paul is he's not at Ephesus, but he's talking to the Ephesian elders. And he knows that he's going now to Rome and he'll never see them again. And he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify," everybody say, "the gospel. Gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." I want you to note, first of all, and I'm going to get even deeper into this in just a second, that the gospel and the kingdom of God are the same thing. Now, I'm going to show you very, very clear in just a second. The gospel and the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom and the word of the kingdom are the same thing. Verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Had Paul been a good watchman? Amen. Had he sounded the trumpet? Amen. Had he told it what he thought and felt and saw in the Spirit? Amen. Verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed or pastor the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock." What I want to warn you about this morning, what I want to share us about this morning, is not humanistic theologies and humanistic teachings that our children are having to sit under now, and not the humanistic teachings that are coming into your house through television, newspaper, radio. That's not what I'm really discussing this morning. What I'm discussing this morning, and I want to look at and cause you to stir up and think about this morning, are the grievous wolves who enter in among you. I want us to sound a trumpet. Know what's happening right now in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're confused, it seems. I went to see your sister, and I walked into the room, and your mom was sitting there, and I walked in, and they welcomed me, and then they said, "I started to call you. What in the world is going on? I watch television, and I see all this going on. What in the world is going on?" How many in here would really like to know what in the world is going on? Well, God's shaken everything that can be shaken. And all that will remain is a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And we're talking about that this morning. And we're talking about the grievous wolves that have risen up in the center, right in the middle of our midst. Verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." Now, what's he warning? Let's see if we got where I'm at so far. What is the Apostle Paul warning the Ephesian elders about? Is he warning them about humanism? Is he warning them about the world? What is he warning this church, these Ephesian elders, what is he warning them about? Grievous wolves from within the church. He's warning them about the Satan comes in two forms. He's a lion and he's a serpent. The lion comes outwardly to devour and just totally mangle and tear up and destroy. But the serpent, two little bites. And his destruction is not outward. Where's his destruction? Inward. Inward. He comes on the inside of the body. He poisons the inside of the body. And because the church cannot understand that, it's come from inside, then we get confused. Therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have come. Now you draw what you need to draw from these verses. I am not going to linger here. This is saying a lot, and I could really linger in here, but I'm really not. You draw what you need to draw from the next several verses. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things. Now that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, you need to be a servant. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm talking about the watchman. The reason that the grievous wolves are rising up from within us is to draw away disciples unto themselves. Do we see that? They're not coming for any other reasons. They're not coming to destroy the church. They don't want to destroy it because then they have no livelihood. What they're trying to do is come within the church to draw away disciples unto themselves. And what I saw this week and what I really argued with the Lord about, because I really didn't want to minister this morning. You know, we've been flowing along and everything's been light and happy. And last week we had just great services and everything has just really been good. And I really don't want to put any kind of weights on us again. But this got to be, we've got to clear some air. We've got to sound a trumpet. We've got to know what's happening in the midst of our church today. Not talking about this fellowship, but I'm talking about the church corporate. I'm talking about the worldwide church. We've got to understand what's going on. So that's what this is all about. And what I've seen and what I'm hearing in my heart and my spirit is that it's a time for separation. Not only from the world and the humanistic systems, but from the harlot church system. Now we understand the Bible teaches there is the false church. There's the harlot church. There's the false church. And I want to try to clarify a little bit of what I feel and what I see and what I think that the false church is. First thing that we got to understand is a line's been drawn. I believe that's where we are right today. God is drawing a line. I've always wondered. I said, Lord, how will you ever differentiate? How will you really know? How will an individual really know where they are in your purposes in your scheme of things? And I believe this is what he's doing today. I believe he's drawing his line and he's naming things. He's really making it very clear. And you'll see this as I progress. One side of the line is going to be a covenant people. The other side of the line is man's systems. How many, first of all, can relate with that? You see what I'm talking about. There is a true covenant people. There is a people that are really covenant-oriented. And everything, you understand that everything everything from Matthew all the way through the book of Revelation is your covenant, your new covenant. You understand that. And you want everything that it's got to offer you. Everything, because it's your covenant. It's what you're promised. But how many also understand that there's a man's system that says, I'll only take what I want. I'll only agree with what I want to agree with. I'll only do what I want to do concerning, if it sounds good and it tastes good to me, then I'll eat that. But if it doesn't taste good, even though it's bitter, I won't swallow it. And so what I'm trying to show you is that today God's drawing his line and he's saying, there's my covenant people and there's going to be a false system. And this is coming up within us. This is what Paul's warning us about. I want to be a covenant person. I want everything. How many wants everything that your covenant has to offer you? Amen? That's what we're about. We want the covenant. We want it all. And I said it so good, we want, but we're reluctant to give. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we want the parts of the covenant, you see, that bless us. Give me, but not the parts that you have to give back. Now, let me just show you real quickly through some scriptures. I'm not going to look up all of these because I got some things I want to look at in just a second. But let me give you these and you'll understand where I'm coming from a little bit better. Jesus said that there's going to be a day when the wheat will be separated from the tares. He also said, John the Baptist really emphasized on this one, that even this is not sufficient, for there's going to be even another separation of this wheat. It's going to go through even more refining because the chaff will be separated from the wheat. Is that right? Sure. He wants the chaff away from us. He wants the tares away from us. He wants you to choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to be covenant people. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. All right. Then what about, he said, there's going to come a day when we're going to separate the sheep from the goats. He says there's going to come a day when we're going to separate the good fish from the bad fish. He says there's going to come a day, Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at verse 38 to start with. We're going to linger here for basically the rest of this morning. But verse 38 says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And somebody finish that for me. And the tares are the wicked one. So you're either children of the kingdom or children of the wicked one. You're either good fish or you're bad fish. You're either sheep or you're goats. You're either wheat or you're chaff. Or you're either wheat or tares, according to this. And we could go on with this. You know that this is unending. You're either light or darkness. You're either day or night. You know, there's no gray area in God. You can't be both. You're one or the other. And so what God's doing today, I really feel, is He's drawing His line. Choose you this day whom you will serve. How many solutions? All that's going on today in the church world, all that's going on today in the entire world, how many solutions are there? Are there three? There two? One. There is only one solution to man's problems. Only one. Not two, not three, but one. That is to be in and to understand covenant. If you're not in and you do not understand covenant, then you don't understand your relationship with God. You want to be in, you want to understand covenant, and not only the blessings of the covenant, but the cursings as well. Now, understand that. Please understand that. The covenant, if you looked at the covenant in Deuteronomy, there were blessings, but there were also cursings. And Jesus says, if you obey me, you will keep my commandments. Every covenant comes with both sides. You build a house upon a rock and it will stand. You build a house upon the sand and it will fall. You got both sides. Both of them are promises of the Word of God. Both of them face the same storms. The only difference is which side of the line are you on? Are you in man's systems? Or are you in covenant? Where's your house built? What are you founded upon? Where are you at? Not only what God will do for you, but what you must do on your part for God and for the covenant. We must have understanding of the ways of God. We need to be a people that are so in tune with the ways of God, and when He moves, we know where He's going and what He's doing. We must be a people so in tune, because He won't do a thing if you're in proper relationships with Him that He won't tell you first. He says, I don't do a thing except I first tell my prophets. Did he come to Abraham before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Can I keep such a thing from this, from my friend Abraham? But he was in proper covenant relationship. And when the church gets into proper covenant relationships, there'll be no doubt of what God's doing. His ways will be our ways. I know you're saying, but Delbert, the scripture says in Isaiah, where's that, dude? What you told him that one time. His ways are not our ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth, is his ways above our ways. But if you go back there and read that, you'll find out that it shouldn't be that way. Our way should be his ways. You have the mind of Christ. One day we're going to let that mind, which is in Christ, be also in us. Now, how many understand so far where I'm coming from? Okay? I'm warning today, I'm sounding a trumpet today, that I feel that God's drawing a line and he's saying, choose you this day. Not choose sides, but choose where you're going to stand. I don't mean choose, do you know what I'm saying? Don't choose sides. Choose the covenant. Oh, this stuff's sticking hard. I don't shake like Dewey do it. I'm trying not to. So it is. Okay. In the word covenant, now we're fixing to do something in this fellowship. In the word covenant, I see a word here, covey. Now this is not my thought. Now I try to tell you when things are not my thought. This is not my thought, but it's good thought. Okay? I see the word covey. I got this off a tape. This is covey. In the word covenant, I see covey. How many understand what a covey of quail is, a covey of partridges? What do you understand what that is? It's a covey, 30, 40 birds grouping together. They group together. Covenant, covey. Now, as long as that group of birds stays together, that 30 or 40 birds stay together, and that hunter comes with his dog, he's got three rounds and 30 birds. And that dog comes and he points, or he sits. Wonder what kind of dog you got. And he comes. Anyway, he marks those birds. Now, I'm talking about the most excellent hunter that there can be. What is the maximum he can get out of that 30 or 40 birds? Three. That's all he's got. Three shots. Bang, bang, bang. And he's got to be good. Odds are one or two. If it's me, odds are the birds would still be safe. How many understand that as long as the church coveys together, covenants together, and we get pointed, is the church always getting pointed? Always getting marked. And when we rise up, we might lose a few. Jesus lost one. When we rise up, we might lose a few. But for the most part, our chances of survival are excellent. But once that covey scatters, and the dogs go forth, and you got a single bird. He's marked. The hunter's still got three rounds. Now what's the opportunity? What's the chances for that bird getting away? Huh? I mean, even a sad hunter. What's the opportunities of that bird getting away? Very, very slim. What am I saying? As long as we covey together, as long as we covenant together, as long as we are of one mind and one accord, as long as we unite our strength and bond it together with a perfect bond of love, as long as we are together, they're going to come, they're going to point us, we're going to flush, we're going to be shot at. We might lose a couple, but for the most part, we're safe. It's when we get separated out. It's when you get away from the covenant. It's when you get away from the covey, your chances lessen to survive. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Now, what am I really saying? This fellowship is fixing to move into covey relationships. And this is why I shared this thought with you, because it's right where we're at. This fellowship is just before moving into covey relationships. We're going to start home fellowships or home covey. We're going to start covenant relationships, because We are getting serious. I believe God is getting serious. I believe it's a time of seriousness. I believe God is more serious now than He's ever been. And I believe He wants a people that are serious. Your elders, I promise you, are very, very serious about what's happening right now. They are being real elders. Your deacons are being real deacons. They're serious. They're growing fruit. They're producing fruit. But if we can't get to you, if we can't get to you and touch your life and answer your questions and explain to you from where we're coming from and what the thought is on this and where we're going, if we can't get to you and covey with you, if we can't get to you and relate what's being said from here to you, we're still going to stay scattered. Our whole purpose is to come together. But we can't, from this pulpit, continue to go on in deeper understanding of the Word of God if you don't understand the basic principles of the oracles of God. You see what I'm saying? So what we're going to do is start covey fellowships. Covenant fellowships. Where we can come together and we can share with you some of the things that are coming forth from this pulpit so that you can understand what's going on. Let me show you some things now. Read what I've written, and then we'll move to Matthew 13. Some things, you should be there. What will we do? For the purpose of the covey, we will begin covenant groups. The purpose of the covenant groups is primarily fellowship. Now listen, primarily fellowship. Isn't that what a covey does? Primarily fellowship. But also to strengthen you and teach you the principles, now hear what I'm fixing to say, the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, I've got to regress a little bit because the kingdom is under, the kingdom message, the word kingdom, is under attack. And so what I've got to do is regress a little bit and show you that the kingdom is what we must teach. And if I teach anything other than the kingdom, then I'm over here on this side of the board. I'm over there in the harlot system. Now, please hear me. Please tune in. Don't cut me off. Please don't cut me off. Please hear me. Please. Let's look at a few scriptures. Look at verse 18 of Matthew 13. Judy. He has just told the parable of the soil and the seed, or the seed and the sower. It really should be the soil and the seed. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth what? The word of the kingdom. Now, I got to stop right there. The message is under attack. We're pointed. We're set on, whatever. We're marked. And some of us are starting to flush. And we're being shot at. It's the word of the kingdom. Hear me, please. Hear my spirit. Not me. Not my mannerisms, not the way I say things, but please hear the spirit of what I'm saying. There is no word but the word of the kingdom. Okay? Any other word other than the word of the kingdom is the word of the harlot. Please stay with me. Now I'm going to show you some things. We only want to hear the gospel. We only want to hear the truth. If I asked you to raise your hand, every one of you want to hear the truth. And you got this one saying this, and this one saying this, and this one saying this, and this one saying this. What I'm trying to plainly show you today is that at the same time God sends the sword on the land, at the same time He sends the flood to the land, He's also raising up watchmen who warn you about the sword and who warn you about the flood. He wants His people in the ark. The ark is the covenant. The ark is the church. He wants you in it. Now let's look at a few things. Matthew 4:23. We're coming back to Matthew 13. But I got to get this across because if I don't show you this, I'm regressing. I really am. I've got about 4 or 5 tapes just on the kingdom of God. And it looks at a whole lot of scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. But I want to just show you a few thoughts here. Please hang in here tight with me. We only want to hear the truth. We only want to hear the gospel. Now, I've got to show you what the gospel is. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And look what goes along with that. And healing all manner of sicknesses among the people and diseases among the people. What did you got to understand? What did Jesus teach? What did Jesus preach? Gospel of the kingdom of God. Do you see that? He went about teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now let's look at some more. Chapter 9 of Matthew. Show you that I'm not just pulling scriptures here and there. This is the principle that we've got to understand. When I teach and I preach the gospel, for the most part, I'm not teaching and preaching a visible kingdom. For I understand that the kingdom can never be visible except first it becomes inward. The kingdom of God is first and foremost righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's first and foremost. They come to Jesus and they wanted to know when the kingdom would come. Jesus said plainly this, it does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Before it can ever manifest outwardly, it must manifest inwardly. So that's what I'm really sharing here. And Jesus, verse 35, Matthew 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Do you see that? Tell me, please, what did Jesus preach? The gospel of the kingdom. He preached, he taught the gospel of the kingdom, and then came healing all the sicknesses and all the diseases and so forth. One more, and then you'll know. Mark chapter 1. What I'm showing you is the gospel and the kingdom are the same thing. You want to hear the gospel, then you've got to hear about the kingdom. You want to hear the kingdom, you're hearing the gospel. And there's a tremendous attack. I'm just wanting to sound a trumpet and let you see some things that some others are trying to hide and keep covered up. Verse 14, Mark 1, 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Do you see that the gospel and the kingdom or the word of the kingdom is the same thing? You need to see that, please. I mean, you won't understand what's going on if you don't understand that the gospel and the kingdom are the identical same things. There is no gospel other than the gospel of the kingdom of God. Any gospel that teaches anything other than the kingdom of God is a harlot gospel. And the watchman must say, watch it. Watch you therefore. I wrote this to mock the pure gospel. And notice how I did say that, pure gospel. There's some kingdom teachings that's not pure. But to mock the pure gospel of the kingdom is to mock the pure message that Jesus preached. Okay? Yeah. Are you with me so far? Yeah. Back to Matthew 13. And I'm winding it up. Set your watch, Willis. I'll be through in 30 minutes. We were out fellowshipping the other night. They were teasing me. Said the other night I said that, and he looked at his watch. And 30 minutes later, I was through. All right, verse 19. Matthew 13. And we're going to go through here. We're going to see some problems that are about this soil, about this reception of the seed, or which is the word of the kingdom. Now, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, what kind of word is there? What is the only kind of word? Word of the kingdom. All right. He went forth and he sowed the word of the kingdom. When he went forth and sowed the word of the kingdom, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away, or snatches away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Number one problem with the message or the gospel or the word of the kingdom is that people don't understand it. Number one problem. And when the sower goes forth to sow the seed, when I teach and minister about the kingdom of God, it's not understood for the most part. And what's not understood, immediately comes the wicked one and does what? Snatches it away. You can get that thought, and you can understand why we must begin some covey fellowships. You need time where you can sit down with the elders and say, what was he talking about Sunday? What did he mean when he said this? Most of you don't take notes. You need to take notes and write down your questions when I say something you don't understand so that I can come back and show you what I'm trying to get. Of course, you say, well, you're a preacher. But when I wasn't a preacher, my whole life was built around Sunday. I knew what I was going to do Sunday. I didn't know what I was going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but I knew what I would be doing on Sunday. My whole life was built around the church, built around going to church, built around the covenant of God. Please hear my spirit, not my voice. People do not understand what they hear about the word of the kingdom. The wicked one comes and takes it away. Our covey groups will be responsible to get people understanding the word and the gospel of the kingdom. If you don't understand it, if it's been preached and taught and you don't know what in the world is being said and you don't understand it, you need to go to these covey groups. Let men that have a handle on it show you some things and say, well, here it is. And you can say, well, what about this? And they can say, well, this. And you can come together. You can understand it. You need to know the definition of the kingdom. Need to know kingdom principles. You need to know the kingdom is first and foremost of all things else. God's purpose is the kingdom. Let's get number two problem. Verse 20. But he that received the seed. Now, what is the seed? Word of the kingdom. Get that. Please get that. But he that receives the word of the kingdom into stony places, the same is that heareth the word of the kingdom, and that word means immediately with joy receives it. Oh, it sounds so good. Boy, that was a good message. Boy, that's good. I enjoyed that. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Now get this. Oh my. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word of the kingdom, by and by he's offended. If you're not rooted in this, if you don't understand it, if you're not rooted, if you don't have some roots into this message and understand what it's really trying to say, and understand that it's the basic principle of all that God's ever done, if you don't understand that, as soon as persecution comes and you start getting shot at, that you flush up, bang, you're offended. You got, and the principle, one of the main purposes. Let me read. If I don't read what I wrote, I'll just talk and talk too long. People readily catch the message of the kingdom, but because they are not established in it, rooted in it, when persecution and tribulation comes because of the word of the kingdom, he's offended. Covey groups will get you a good root system developed. Covey groups will get you a good root system developed. Okay? No? Okay. When it closes the door, I'm going to say it again. All right. Listen to me. Covey groups will get you a good root system developed. I can't develop you a root system 30, 45 minutes a week, 2 hours a week. I can't develop you a root system. I've got to get closer to you than here. I've got to get in your life. I've got to help you dig out the roots of some things that shouldn't be there so that the proper roots of the kingdom can grow into your life and that the word can get a root system in you. If this does not happen, as soon as the tribulation, is it a promise they'll come?
Amen.
Please understand, in Matthew chapter 7, where he's talking about building your house, one on the rock and one on the sand, it is a promise of God. It is a promise of God that you will have floods. You will have storms to come against your life. It's a promise that tribulation and persecution's coming. And if you don't understand this, you'll be offended. Covey groups will get you a good root system developed. Roots that go down deep. So when tribulation and persecution comes, because of this word, you will not be offended. You'll be ready for warfare. You will be ready for warfare. I thought that was good. Amen.
Amen.
Number three problem, verse 22. He also that received the what? Seed, which is the word of the kingdom, among the thorns, is he that heareth the word of the kingdom, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Choking of the word of the kingdom is what we're talking about here. Choking it out of you. There, you can get it in you. You can understand it. You can get a good root system developed. But if you allow the things of this world, deceitfulness of riches, if you allow them to come into your life, it'll choke this kingdom message right out of you. I've got too much to do to go to Covey groups. No. You need to rechange that around. You've got nothing more important to do than to go to Covey groups. Well, I've got other meetings to do. No. I promise you by the word of the Lord, this is the most important thing that you can possibly do. But I've got to work. Deceitfulness of riches, cares of this world, choke this right out of you. Covey groups cannot help you if you're scattered. If you do not covey, you'll be choked and you'll be unfruitful. How many want to be really fruitful for God? I mean, you want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God? Sure you do. Sure you do. Sure you do. You got to get a root system. You got to understand this seed. You got to understand this word. Number four, what are the results of what we expect from the covey groups? Number four, verse 23, is that where I'm at? But he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it. It's number one. Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. God wants you to understand what he's doing. He wants you to understand the word. He wants you to understand the message. Our desire, first and foremost, is to help you be fruitful. We want you to know and understand the ways of God. We want you to know and understand the word of the kingdom. We want you to be able to preach and teach what Jesus did preach and teach. Now, we're getting ready to start Covey groups. Okay? I forget I'm not in California. We are just before beginning Covey groups. We'll be getting in touch with you individually, letting you know of the one that's closest in your area. Now, the reason that I'm ministering this is because I want you to make a commitment. I've shared with you from my heart. I've shared with you what I've heard of the Lord this morning. I want you to commit to what the purposes of these things are. You understand now more about the kingdom message. You understand that the soil and the kingdom are related. You understand God's purposes are related. I want a commitment from you. And if I get enough commitments, we will have one in your area. And we've already discussed that. We want one in Tryon. We want one in Lafayette. We want one up towards Chickamauga if there's going to be some support for it. Now, please don't move in your emotions. But if you would really like to be Covey related, have some answers given to you from the message of this kingdom, understand it, get rooted, understand it, and bring forth fruit.